Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for January 24th, 2017. The time right now is 7:01 p.m. And Ms. Atkinson, could you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutaback, Hanford, Rasmussen, Davis, Camp, and Gamble.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutaback, will you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on the agenda this evening is under announcements and presentations. This is the first and only presentation this evening. It's on the East County Senior Center. Mr. Mickey, please come on forward. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome. Thank you for having me here today.
She's going to hand it to her.
I brought paper. Thank you. I know you guys don't like paper, but I brought paper anyway for some upcoming events, and you can give them out and pass them out to people that
do like paper.
You think would, yeah, that do like paper would be interested. My name is Jacob McGee.
Not Jamie.
I'm the director of the East County Senior Center. I first want to thank you for the continued funding of the Mobility Lifeline Transportation Program. We have over 150 current applications on file for people that ride the bus. We provide 25 to 30 rides per day. Around 70% of our rides are within the city limits. The rides that are outside the city limits are bringing residents of the outer areas into the city for services like medical appointments, food bank, shopping, exercise, nutrition, socialization, activities at the center. The $15,000 provided by the City of Monroe supports the transportation program greatly. It costs around $35,000 to run annually. This includes fuel, maintenance, and driver's wages. We run 3 days per week, Monday, Thursday, and Friday. We would like to run more, and we are so maxed out that we have had to prioritize rides. We just started that about a month ago. Medical appointments take the priority, and we've had to limit some riders to only one shopping trip a week instead of three. About the Senior Center, I'm going on my 12th year here and loving it still. In my new role, I'm coming up to 1 year in April as the director. My new staff are settling in well and are all happy. We completed a month-long project going green. All LED lighting went in. We got rebates from the PUD and raised a total of $7,500 from members and local businesses. All senior centers were hit with a big loss from United Way, $30,000 for our center. United Way chose to focus their focus on poverty in Snohomish County, pulling all funding that is out of that scope, breaking a four-decades-long relationship with East County Senior Center. Some cities have stepped up for filling the gap. Edmond Senior Center is getting their county funding matched by the City of Edmond, $75,000. I know you all wanted electronic copies, but I did bring some on paper, so I wanted to show you guys the Chili Bowl, which is a group event from the Chamber, the Senior Center, the Boys and Girls Club, and the Food Bank. I brought you the President's Day flyer for our bingo coming up, and that's a fun event. We had 135 people last time in October when we did it. And I brought you our auction flyer. So you're all invited to our auction or make a donation. That's our second biggest, it's our biggest fundraising event of the year, but it's our second largest source of funding behind the county. That's all. Thanks for having me tonight. Do you have any questions about the Senior Center?
All right, Councilmember Cutaback. Thank you.
Jacob, thank you for what you do. It's really an important service, so I appreciate that. Did you mention what funding what was the dollar amount you get from the county? I stepped out for a minute.
$75,000.
Oh, so that's what you get is $75,000. Okay. Right, thank you.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. No questions, Jacob. I just want to compliment you and your position. Just being neighbors down there and working together to bring awareness to the resources that we have down there between the club, the senior center, as well as the food bank, and also the libraries involved. So
we have a great resource.
Yeah, it is a great resource area down there that we've gotten. So it's great to be able to work with.
Thank you.
Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Thank you, Jacob, for coming tonight. I appreciate what you do. I have a question about the increase in the trips that you've gone through now, and that sound like you want to expand.
The transportation program?
Yeah, the transportation. Can you expand on that and tell us what is the roadblock from, you say you're doing 3 days a week?
We do Monday, Thursday, and Friday right now.
Okay. So what's the roadblock for not expanding that?
The simple answer, money.
For the...
To be able to fund it.
Okay.
It costs $35,000 a year to run. We just don't have the means right now. With the cut that we just took from United Way, we made up with the previous director retiring, and then the changes in staff that I made. We went from a 40-hour week bookkeeper to a 20-hour week bookkeeper. The program person, which used to be me, is now someone new, makes less. You know, everybody gets to make less than they're new. She also went to 30 hours a week instead of 40. So we were able to make up most of that in funding or budget cuts to staffing.
Sure. So it's operating cost, the gas, the drivers.
And it's our bus. Our bus has 160,000 miles on it now. We got that from Boeing with a Boeing grant. It was new then, and now it's not so new.
If I could correct you, I think you got from the Employees Community Fund.
Yes.
Okay.
Just a big difference.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, thanks for coming out tonight. I just had a couple questions on these. So United Way is 30,000, you said, that was taken out of that permanent. Is it, they going to be, or is it something that...
We're thinking so. All the senior centers in Snohomish County had to go through that. United Way chose to fund no senior centers.
Okay.
We're all thinking it's pretty permanent.
And that's just directly from, you can, if you're an individual contributor, you can still contribute to the United Way and designate to East County Senior Center, correct?
Yeah, and they give, I think, 80 cents on the dollar.
Okay.
Thank you. Anything further, Council? Thank you very much for all the work that you do. We really appreciate having the Senior Center here.
And thank you guys for what you do.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The next item that we have on the agenda this evening is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to public hearing. If you have a sign-in sheet, please note that public comment is limited to 3 minutes per speaker. The first person that we have who has signed up to speak this evening is Ms. Kathy Irving. Yes, sir.
I'm here to speak about the Marbella Water System, which is on the agenda this evening. I lived in the Marbella Water System for 13 years. I'm part of a small group of neighbors that got together to collect the signatures on the petition that's being presented this evening. We didn't ask everyone in the neighborhood to show up tonight because they probably would have completely swamped the entire building. I just wanted to give a little background on the situation with Marbella. If there's been one annoyance in the neighborhood for the last 13 years, it's dealing with the Marbella Water System and their owner, Iliad Water Company. I personally had several disappointing experiences with them, such as water main breaks that go unrepaired for days or weeks, boil water notices that show up in the mail days after the repair has been made, so they're completely pointless. And frosty interactions with the office staff, and that's if you're lucky enough to actually get them on the phone. While gathering signatures to present to the city, I heard some truly appalling stories about poor customer service and lack of maintenance. What you have to do is say the word Marbella to anyone in the neighborhood, and you'll be met with an eye roll and a deep sigh. It's something that we've all dealt with over the years. I could tell stories for the entire evening. But since I only have a couple minutes, I just wanted to say thank you to the city for considering taking over the water system. It's not just the ridiculous 175% rate increase that drove us to action. It's the years and years of the water system being completely ignored by Iliad while we all pay our water bills every month like good citizens. I have no faith that the rate increase will mean better service, and there's been zero indication in their filing that it will lead to any sort of capital improvements to the system. And it just makes sense to cut out the middleman and work directly with the source of our water, which is the city of Monroe, and I hope that the city does the same way. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next person that we have who has signed up to speak is Mr. David Demarest. Mr. Demarest.
Good evening, Mayor, Council Members. Dave Demarest, 1931 130th Place, Southeast Snohomish, also in the Marvello Water District, which is what I'm speaking to tonight. I noticed that the petitions were not actually attached to the agenda item. We have got the originals. I thought that I attached copies to the email that I sent to Jacob, but apparently they went somewhere else. So anyway, we do have, if you want to see them at some point. First off, I'd like to thank staff, and particularly Brad, for coming to a community meeting that we had last November to talk about this. We had four members from the UTC in attendance as well, and staff being there to answer some questions was certainly very much appreciated. Also want to offer one additional piece of information or clarification perhaps to the staff report that you have in front of you this evening. Jacob made mention of the increase is proposed from $30 a month to $82-something a month. That's the base rate. That doesn't include the water usage rate of $8.34 per 100 cubic feet of water. So that's on top of that proposed $82. I brought with me tonight an email that I sent in January, or December rather, to the UTC with copies of it for you, one for me. There are three things in particular I'd like to point to that you can think about as you get into discussing this evening. As mentioned, the UTC is hearing the tariff increase request. On December 22nd, the UTC, in a public hearing, suspended the application pending request for more information from the applicant. By suspending it doesn't mean that it goes away, it just means that they've got 10 more months, as I understand it, by law, to try to resolve some sort of agreeable terms there. So it's far from being done or gone. The email I gave you, I want to draw your attention in particular to paragraph 3, where, and I quoted in there, that the company has been operating significant losses for a long period of time, and that their proposed road rate increase will only allow them to break even. It doesn't go anywhere beyond covering their costs at, in my opinion, in our opinion, an outrageous level of expense. Paragraph number 4, and Kathy touched on this, there's no discussion anywhere in their application for establishing any sort of reserves for future improvements or upgrades to what many have called as a substandard system today. So what can we as homeowners and consumers in the water district expect down the road if we stay with ILEA? In addition to a rate increase today, a special assessment 2, 3, 5 years from now to put new water lines in that will just drive our costs up even higher. Paragraph number 6 in particular, I think, brings it home to you. This is a comparison for a single family home using 400 cubic feet of water per month based on the city's non-resident rate. Today, it would cost them $26.60 a month. Today, in Iliad's water system, Marbella, we would be paying $66.36 a month, and that will, under their proposed increase, go to $119 per month. So those are the comments that I have. Certainly going to stick around for your discussion. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Certainly appreciate your willingness to take a look at this, and hopefully we can continue the discussion beyond tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Question?
Councilmember Scarborough?
Dave, on this piece of paper, this 119 increase to 119, that does not include the, that's just the base rate?
No, the 119 would include consumption of 400 cubic feet of water,
okay,
plus the base rates.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening on any matter related to the City of Monroe? Please come up forward and state your name.
Greg Galloway. I'd like to also thank you all for hearing us tonight. 9 years ago, I tried to bring this forth with working with Gene to bring it forth when we were having issues with them and their shutdowns, no notifications, no boil water notices, and then how it went on. unfortunately, I couldn't follow through. I lost my son in an automobile accident over here on Baha'i Rock, and it kind of fell to the wayside. In light of all the different things that have happening in this recent 175% increase to our water, I have been the biggest advocate. If we were to be underneath the umbrella of the city of Monroe, their public works department would do this. This is how they would do it. This is how they would communicate with you. They would return phone calls. They wouldn't do this. They would flush from the height. They would flush the water system. I just want to thank you for listening, giving us the opportunity, and I really hope that you take a good hard look at this, because there's a lot that you can offer us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else who'd like to come forward to speak to the city council? Maybe somebody who knows how to operate the remotes. Just letting you know, council members, if you get a chance to do this, you really need to push the down button hard. Yes, I just realized that. So. All right. All right, seeing no other comments, we'll go ahead and move on to unfinished. Actually, let's move on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Scarborough to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. 7-0. Thank you, Council. The next item on the agenda is unfinished business item number one. This is AB 17-020, discussion Blueberry Lane, Kelsey Street, traffic revisions, review open house comments. Scott.
Good evening. Didn't seem like too long ago I was standing up here talking about Blueberry. But tonight I want to give you a summary of the open house we conducted on two Thursdays ago on January 12th. We held that at the Monroe Public Library. And then in your council packet, there's about 15-page document here with various summaries of citizen comments, as well as the concepts that's shown at the open house. And I'll summarize it now. Again, we had it at the library on the 12th of January. We had presented essentially five boards for people to comment on. Four of them were the proposed improvement concepts at the intersection of Blueberry and Kelsey. And then one was what we would consider doing north of the railroad tracks, just to see what people might have some opinion on that. Concept one was just putting up some signs and some double yellow paint lines. And so it'd just be a prohibited no left turn using signs only. Concept two, we talked about putting up some actual obstructions to keep people from making those left turns anyway. Concept number three was extending a center turn lane through Blueberry intersection south to about North Street. Then concept four was doing a full signalized intersection. And then the fifth board we had up there was putting up a traffic barrier down the center line of Kelsey, north of the railroad tracks, the US 2. We provided citizens opportunities to provide their comments, as well as sometimes we found that a lot of comments we get, it's hard to decipher people's opinion. It's just maybe just a lot of negative comment. It's kind of hard to read between the lines, so to speak. So we also provided them tokens to maybe cast a vote for their most favorite or least favorite option to help us in turn kind of get an idea of how the citizens are viewing these concepts. In the package, we see kind of the spread of the chips. You'll see that essentially number three, which is the extended turn lane down Kelsey, had definitely a majority interest in favor of it. And then there tend to be a negative opinion on, should I say, prohibiting left turns at the intersection. I think that people still wanted the opportunities to do those left turns. We also extracted some Facebook comments. A little further back into your packet, we kind of gave a summary of the Facebook comments, just trying to see what opinions might be out there. Again, actually, a lot of the opinions seem to focus more on the what to do north of the railroad tracks. You know, a lot of people are in favor of just cutting off any left turn opportunities, just to help traffic safety there. The other concepts that were presented for Blueberry Intersection, definitely there was a trend that supported no left, I mean, the center turn lane extended through the intersection. And then another one that seemed to gain a little traction was maybe to use the signage to try it out and maybe create a window of no left turns, much like downtown at Main and Lewis, where you just have a certain time frame during the day where you prohibit no left turns. And then during the left, because the times of those roads, you in between the no left turns like they do today. So, in general, that would be what our take would be on the analysis. Again, we had about, kind of hard to say, with not everyone wanted to sign in at the open house, but we figure about 10 citizens, you know, outside of staff or council members that came to the open house that night.
How many?
About 10. So the data here is for you guys to check out and review and comment on. And then, of course, open up for further discussion from when we last had it.
Thank you. Council members, any questions or discussion? Councilmember Kettleback.
Thank you for pulling it together. A couple questions. So the north of the railroad tracks, you know, I'm trying to understand how this came into play, not allowing the left turns. And Denny's and then Rite Aid are out of it, or there's enough room for people to get around when someone's turning left, like into Rite Aid, for people to go around. And does that really block traffic? Is that really a problem?
A lot of people would say yes. They feel that they can't go around, and so they're stuck behind that left turn movement, and then it, down the time of day, it'll creep into the highway and not allow people to turn off the highway.
I'd just be curious, because I mean, I drive this all the time, and I don't see that as the main issue or a problem. I see it closer, obviously, to Blueberry Lane, Kelsey. I mean, it's that intersection right there versus this. Did Rite Aid or Denny's have any comments?
I believe we reached out to them, but we have not heard back from them.
Okay, because it is kind of, impacting possibly people coming and going into their parking lots, and I didn't see that as a major issue on there, so I'm just curious that seemed to come up. Out of the four concepts, I really think number three makes, if you're looking for general comments, makes the most sense financially, and I think what would help solve the problem. I think that not allowing turns is going to be an issue because it's going to impact other side streets to a pretty large degree if we don't allow turning there. I did see the comment in here saying it's not a comp plan, and you know, we haven't, you know, there's not a way to get funding without doing some. So what's your suggestion if we were going to look at trying to go the route of concept three? Do we have to amend the comp plan this summer? Do we have to put it on the list of transportation projects and then start to try to get funding? What's the process?
Well, I'm not exactly versed in the process. I just know that our transportation impact fees are collected based on the comp plan, transportation
right.
plan. This intersection in particular was not part of that comp plan update. So technically those funds aren't being collected and built up
sure.
for this improvement. That being said, if we see a project that we want to do, we just need to find an alternate source of funding.
Okay.
And I can't offer any advice to that.
Councilmember Kovac, some of the things that we've talked about on the staff level, there's about $250,000 in REIT. We also have REIT funds and fund balance on top of that $250,000 that was added to REIT last year. We also have the contingency that if council decided that we could use. And one of the things that we're doing right now is we're just kind of going through some of these projects very much like we did last year, where we talked in the first quarter for first half of the year about projects that council might be interested in seeing for the upcoming year's budget. And this is sort of part of what we're doing right now. We're having a conversation about what we might bring forward in the 2018 budget. But those would be two funding sources. And unfortunately, this won't qualify for impact fees, as I understand it, because we went with council approved using a different methodology for concurrency that is based on a corridor rather than an intersection. So those would be two potential sources of funding, again, REIT and contingency, and then there may be other funding sources also that we can explore with staff, but okay. those are just a couple ideas.
So we would go through a process of amending the comp plan and try to get this in there, is that Brad? Is that?
Well, it depends on what funding source you want to use.
Yeah,
so
let's say the more the merrier.
To have the more options of funding sources, you would have to amend the comp plan.
Okay. And that we could possibly look at doing this year?
Yes, because the citizen-initiated ones is closed, but it's still open for city-initiated comment amendments.
Right, and that would give us more options possibly for funding.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking when I was reading through this, that if we wanted to have more options for funding, that we would look at including this in amendments for the comp plan this year, and then that would allow us to look for other funding sources. So that would be my thoughts right now on what direction to take.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
So actually, just to respond to your making left, you're going south on Kelsey into the Rite Aid.
Yeah.
A lot of the concerns, actually what drivers do is they stop. If they're going north on Kelsey, they stop and wait for people to turn in front of them. So it's that kind of that game. And that's the same thing when drivers are coming out of Rite Aid trying to make a left-hand turn, which is why you would want to make a left-hand turn.
Yeah, let them go.
They stop, they let them go. It backs up on the highway too, because they'll do the same thing. And it's just kind of it's dangerous. And then it backs up even farther. So just for that specific thing. The one thing I did want to point out too, as far as I see the column, and it's not, I wouldn't say that this was constitutes an advisory vote by any stretch of the imagination for preferred the most and dislike the most. But dislike the most is pretty much equal between 4, 2, and 1. Across. So there's, no matter which way you go, there's going to be, it just kind of illustrates the point that there's going to be a contingent of the population that's not going to like the resolution. And I really don't think until we deal with the actual true problem, which is the railroad tracks and getting over the railroad tracks and over Highway 2 without a stoplight for a flyover or whatever the case may be, that it really, you're not going to completely solve that. And absolutely, that's a huge cost. But it will continue to be an issue for us as far as separating between the north side and the south side of town, until we completely address that. But I will say, just looking at the cost, and until we can figure something out, I mean, primarily, if you look at all the flows, it's trying to control the left-hand turns. I mean, that's what we're trying to do, is control the left-hand turns. So I don't see why we wouldn't. Concept one is less than $1,000 of putting up signs and putting hours on when not to make a left-hand turn. I'd do that tomorrow. That's just my opinion, for the cost that it is. And then we would pursue trying to look at some of these other concepts in the long term, but at least we would have an idea on whether or not just putting signs up would help with traffic. So I know that it doesn't always work downtown. I see it all the time, but it could be a first step in the right direction. So that's my point.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I attended the open house, and I agree with everything that you said, Councilmember Cuddeback. Concept 3 gives us an opportunity, gives us a more permanent solution. I'd like putting signs up and eliminating left turns, I think, would be, well, at the open house, I just didn't think it would be a good way to go. It just is too much of an interim step. So I agree. And then the funding consideration, we'll have to take that into account. One question, though, I think I saw one comment from State Roofing. Have you talked to them about all four of the concepts? Because they had issues with looking at bridges.
Yes, I did actually talk to State Roofing directly. I think he was one of the first people there. And kind of walked through the four concepts. He's in favor of the signage only. advantage, quick way to see if this will help curb the problem, so to speak. He didn't like anything that created a barrier in the road because the semis take large turns and they end up driving over it or through it.
Is that from his turning, as they're going southbound, turning left into the park?
No, it's more of an opinion of him coming out of his yard and heading northbound.
Coming out and heading northbound. Yeah. Those are taking a wide...
Take a wide turn and into the oncoming lane. If we had, the median barrier or that raised island, yeah. If I drive right over, is what he's saying.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Councilmember Scarborough.
On option three that we're looking at, does the yellow line mean that we're going to have a curve all the way up in between Denny's and Rite Aid? This allowing a left southbound left-hand turn into Rite Aid and a left-hand turn northbound out of Denny's?
Well, concept three was primarily just focused at the intersection. Okay. Just talking about what to do right at that intersection. We detached what was going on north of the train tracks as its own separate subject to discuss. We didn't want to kind of blend comments on the two issues. So,
same with two.
And same with two.
From the tracks, right.
Right. Two, concept two, south of the tracks, we put in a barrier in the middle of the road down the center line.
And good state roofing. In concept three, state roofing would have two lanes to swing out and hit north. Is that correct?
That would be correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Could we add the thought in concept three of putting the yellow curve north to Highway 2, eliminating the turns we're talking about?
As part of the project, yeah. It would be good. We could certainly do that.
Thank you. Anything further? Okay. Customer Hanford.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Scott, for this presentation and the visuals. It really helps. I'm just trying to think of all the times I've sat at this intersection and what I would do if we were to cut option three, which, you know, was popular. If I'm coming down Blueberry, I'm going to take a left onto Kelsey. If I'm reading this correctly, I would sit and wait my turn, and as soon as there's no one coming from the left, I already have a lane to pull into. So I'm not really worried about the right, because theoretically they're backed up anyway. So I already have a lane to turn into, so I'm looking to the left, it's clear, I turn it, I pull into my lane. Now I need to get over because I'm going to go straight or I'm going to go right. So now I'm going to stop and turn on my signal and wait until there's an opening. And so I'm not seeing a huge benefit with that. Unless there's a way to curb, because you have that island thing kind of in the middle intersection. Is there no way to when we start taking lefts to go on Blueberry, is there no way to curb it from right about there all the way to the highway? And people will know, hey, this is the left turn lane to go on Blueberry. Or if you don't take a left on Blueberry, you're going to keep on going all the way to Highway 2 and take a left. Is there a way to curb that? Then those people could also turn into Denny's if we didn't curb that far left side. I don't know if you're following me or not. So if you're in the left turn lane, you're coming up to Blueberry, you're pulling into the left turn lane. Mm-hmm. You can either turn left to Blueberry or keep going straight through the intersection. You've got a curve on your right all the way to the highway. You're coming up to Denny's. You go across the tracks. You're coming up to Denny's. I want to go to Denny's. You take the left because there's nothing on the left. It's up double yellows. You don't want to go to Denny's. You want to go to Highway 2 instead and take a left. You just keep going all the way to the right, and then you're sitting there to turn left. So we've stopped people from cutting across to Rite Aid from the other side. However, you're still allowing people to go into Denny's. And you're stopping this, the predicament I gave you the example of, where you're pulling in off of Blueberry and then, oh, I got to get over so I can't. So you're not going to go that way. You're either going to go all the way to the highway and then take the left, or you're going to go right and go around. I'm just throwing out my thoughts.
So essentially you're talking kind of in front of Fred Meyer when you got your two left turn lanes just not long before you have that white center channel that says you can't cut in or out of those two left turn lanes at a certain point because you'll have a barrier down the lane line, if you will. So it's on the right hand side, you won't be able to switch back out or switch back in. Essentially down at North Street, you're going to choose whether you want to do a left turn
or
at some point all the way to the highway.
Yeah.
Or do not get in that left lane.
Correct. That's just a thought. Because if we spend all this money and go with number three, it's going to be very frustrating to make that left and then sit there and block traffic to try and go to the right. And now you're just, the people back on Kelsey are still sitting in the same type of traffic. That's just a going back, looking at the north of the railroad tracks picture, concept, yeah.
Four.
The last slide, north of railroad tracks.
Oh, okay.
When you're going towards Highway 2 and you go across the tracks, and now here's Rite Aid's driveway, is there no way to push into that property? Do we not have any more right of way that we can claim there to widen the roads there?
We would have, I think if you'd actually look at concept four, it showed some right-of-way acquisition for the right-of-way driveway.
Correct, yeah.
We don't have more right-of-way existing. We would have to buy right-of-way from them.
Okay. So just for purchasing. Okay, and then on the left side, looking over at the Denny side, is there no additional right-of-way there either, the entire length of their property?
That's my understanding. I mean,
okay.
Again, on concept four, we showed a drop lane south of the railroad tracks as part of a signal improvement. And in that scenario there, we'd also have to buy some property from the adjacent property owner.
Just another thought with, and this is totally, I'm just kind of popcorn ideas, but as far as the challenge that customer Kovac was talking about, where you're sitting at Rite Aid sitting at that Rite Aid driveway trying to turn left, and all the traffic is backing up behind you on the highway too. If there was no curb and so we were going to allow still to have left turns in the right lane, there's room to go around, but only if the person is correctly into their lane and close to the elevator and not way to the right. So I would be interested to see if there is a way we could, if we're going to do all this, we could juggle the lines just slightly so that there is an actual lane that merges just after the right driveway, which would still allow those turns and yet people would feel free to go around them. So that's just an idea. This is a lot of money for in my opinion, I'm not seeing a whole lot of bang for the buck. I'm kind of liking Councilmember Gamble's idea. $1,000, let's just get something up and try it and see how it works. In the meantime, we could look for funding sources for one of these concepts. But at least we would show that we're doing something or we're trying something. And I think if we publicize that in a way that to the public on Facebook and things like that, hey, we're trying this, we're still looking at options, we're going to give this a go for now. I think that's, we would be showing that we're at least trying something. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis hasn't spoken to the subject yet. Councilmember Davis?
Sure. I think you've got the bookends, I guess, or the book, or do nothing on one end and spend millions of dollars, or at least $1 million on the other end. I don't see either one of those as an option. You know, the whole thing came up because we had to do something, and we started coming up with ideas of what to do because the situation requires it. So we've got to do something, and spending $1 million+, I don't think is going to happen. So process of elimination, it comes down to the 1, 2, and 3, or I like 3 the best. I think it's probably actually going to work better than anything else. It's a little more expensive, and we don't have that kind of money to just go out and do that right now, so we're going to have to work with that. I think 2 might do nothing more than just aggravate people. That would be a waste of money. So my thinking is go with 1, like it's been said a couple of times. We can do that immediately. Maybe that'll help. Who knows? It might not. But in the meantime, we'll look for ways of finding some money to do something. Number 3. That looks like it. You know, I'm not an expert in this. I have no idea what the solution is other than spending millions of dollars and redesigning the whole area or building a bridge or something like that. That's not going to happen either. So, 3 looks like it might have the best chance of actually being a positive change. And so let's look for some ways to fund that kind of activity. And in the meantime, go with 1 and see if that helps the situation. That's all.
All right. Thank you. So we'll go back for seconds. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I forgot one question. So is number 4 the only one that has property issues? Right-of-way issues?
Yeah, that's how
we have to purchase it.
Right. Right. Everything else, we believe we can squeeze in their existing right-of-way.
Okay. Just in general, I agree. I think number 3 is our best option. However, it is further down, a little bit further down the road. The only concern I have with point number 1 as an interim step is shutting down left turn lights. You're doing a major traffic redirection at that point, and then we're going to have another major redirection when we start opening up left turn lights. I don't know what the impact would be from an engineering standpoint and how people behave when they're driving down the roads.
It's always a learning curve.
Well, okay. and also it might be able to be sold easier to the public if it was expressed that you're going to lose your left turn lane for a year or so while we work out the funding, and then it's going to come back, or we're going to, or here's the renovation we're planning. Number 1 is as the final solution, but I don't really have any major issues with it as being a step moving forward.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
The only question I might have is, this might be for Brad, when we go looking for funding, what percentage of $450,000 are we likely to find, as opposed to what percentage of $1.4 million might we find?
Basically, for grants, any other grant source, you have to pay approximately 18.5% of city match. And then the less money that you ask them for, like, more likely you are to get it. You know, the more you contribute, you get more points. Some grants, you know, have a cap on $500,000. So
going for a one.
So going for the smaller one might be better, depending on what grants are available. Since this isn't a regional, considered a regional project, the likelihood of getting any grant funds without a demonstrated safety concern, like lots of accidents or things like that, would probably be fairly small.
Okay, thank you. And that being said, I encourage Councilman Camp and Davis and Cutterback and Kevin about maybe Jason the Rod trying the signs first, with the caveat that we're looking at the 450 to make concept 3 work.
Would you yield for just a comment on that?
Right? Sure.
My original statement was for during peak hour.
Yeah, that's what I was going to
say. Not shutting it down.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no. That's not.
I agree.
To be more in line with what we got downtown.
Yes.
That was what I was saying.
Yeah. And that's what I would agree with.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilmember Scarborough.
Councilmember Cutback.
Okay, that's what I was going to clarify, because they're two separate things. I'm not in favor of doing concept one, which is putting that barrier and prohibiting left turns at all times. The signage, as we have on Main Street during busy times, and saying don't turn, you know, I'm not averse to doing that. I mean, if we want to do something and try it and see if it works, I'd be okay with doing that. My only concern with people are, you know, they're using that, because I use it, to avoid Highway 2. And you do that during busy hours. So, you know, by not being allowed to use that route, we are going to put impact either on Highway 2 substantially or on the other side street. So, I mean, some way people are going to find a way to get where they need to go. So by not allowing it during busy hours, it might free up a little traffic on Kelsey, but it's going to put more traffic somewhere else. And so if we put up the signs, I don't know if there's any way to kind of monitor that or see, like, where's it going? Is it, what's it causing in other areas?
Well, if you recall, this is back in December 6th, we had some consultants
right.
Show up, and they did some flow modeling and
right.
Stopped left turn movement at the intersection.
Yeah.
They showed a redistribution of
yeah.
traffic during those peak 2 hours of 4 to 6 p.m. And I can't
Columbia.
Remember all the numbers, but
yeah.
Columbia in general was
yeah.
the one that got the most.
And Columbia is a very residential, that is used to that type of traffic. So if that's going to be one of the effects, I just think we have to be aware of that. And, you know, and that street has had some repairs because of the building that's going on at the at West Columbia, you know, but it's still not a real great road. So that's my biggest concern, even with putting up signage, saying can't use it during these busy times, because that's when people want to use it. Whereas Main Street not turning on there, people could easily find another route and go down the next street and turn right by where now Harmson's is, you know, and go around. That's easy peasy. But Blueberry, if you're not allowed that turn, you don't have an easier route going down Columbia. I don't think so. That's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I would argue that I don't make that during peak hours. The easy peasy is to go down to Columbia. That's what I do. Go around by the church, the Catholic church. That's what I do. So I don't know. It's the same argument with, you know, downtown. So, but I just had a couple of questions, Brad. If we were able to secure funding,
I'd have to talk. I'm sorry. Just a second.
Real quick. Did you have something else that you wanted to say?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
The concept one was prohibiting left turns all the time.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't only have it at certain times, it's okay on Kelsey Street, but you have two lanes headed eastbound on Blueberry. And so when the people get, two of them get there, and then they see a sign that says no left turn because they, you know, weren't paying attention way back when the lane split, what's going to happen there?
Yeah.
Now you're going to have two people trying to make right turns together or what? So that's an issue that would have to be thought about before we implement a time left turn on Blueberry.
And I know that it's a great point. I have seen in that particular instance, I can't remember if it was in California or where it was at, but they actually color it, you know, the lane.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually painted, you know, to kind of draw more attention that, oh, this is just, you know, between the hours of whatever, 4 and 6, you can't make a left, whatever the case may be. But very, very valid point. Question I have, $450,000, if you got it today, you know, pot from point of funding until, hey, it's done on concept three, how long would that take?
Without, you can do it in a year if you, depending on what other projects are around.
Okay.
So,
but that's going to get, somebody walked through the door right now, we got $450,000. It's a year.
It would probably be a year and a half right now, because right. You would get designed at the end of the construction season, so you'd probably have to wait till next construction season. There'd be a gap. So a year of work, but you got 6 months, depending on season.
Sure. And then, but you know, obviously, it's not happening unless someone knows somebody that's come up with $450,000 tonight. So we're obviously have to secure it. So you're reasonably looking at the earliest a 2 year window or further out. I'm just kind of drawing that out there that I. None of the solutions that we have, in my opinion, are 100% optimal, but as we stated, and I can't remember who said it before, we've been talking about this for quite a while. You guys have been going back into last summer and before, because we wanted to have something in place before the school season started for the buses, if you remember the conversation. So I guess all I'm saying is, man, I sure would like to try to do something to help with the flow there, since we've gotten so much feedback on it. And whether it's, you know, these low cost options until we get something, you know, in place. And I know option two, formerly known as the pork chop, if you want to call it that, used to be, it's essentially what option two is. It's a 10,000 option. I think before you said it was around 7,000. But I just want to draw that to our attention that I don't think anybody disagrees that concept three looks great, but starting today, if everything were to go without a hitch, it's a year and a half out. And we all know the housing starts that we have going in. We have all know the growth that we have going on. I think it would be irresponsible for us not to at least try something that is a low cost option we can put in place. How long, if you said, hey, it's time to do signs or you want to put the signs up, how long for that, Brad, for implementation?
We have a we have it in stock to take by the day.
And swipe them.
Okay, thanks. I think you would need a pre-notice.
Yes,
pre-notice.
Totally understood.
Right.
Thank you. And just for argument's sake, if I'm still on the topic, concept two, which I know is the same monthly bill or dislike the most, then is concept one and concept four. And, well, concept three, don't want to go through with that. If you were to do that, that's a lower cost option as well. What would the build time be for that? Because I think some of that was like temporary stuff that you could pull up, if I remember correctly.
For two.
Sure, this lead time is about a month,
at least.
Yeah, so probably 6 months.
1 month to 6 months. 6 months, got it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Customer Rasmussen.
Thank you. I agree with a lot of what's already been said, and the one point I look at that kind of stands out for me with concept three, and I get it, it's a ways out, but something to pursue. You know, when we first started talking about this earlier, or I guess last year, one of the concerns that Chief brought forward was the cars going north on Kelsey and jumping in oncoming traffic so they can turn left onto Blueberry. of all the options, that's one that, you know, to me, gives that safe option to prevent that. You know, putting the no left-hand turn signs up, whether it's up all day long or during peak times, I'm skeptical, but, you know, definitely want to try to do something until we come to that long-term fix. So it'll be interesting to see if that's the route that we go and what the results end up being.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Any other points of discussion, questions? What I'll do is I'll go ahead and work with staff a little bit more on option one and also on the financing component for option three. Is there any request for additional information for the C curve on the north side of the railroad?
Just to clarify, is council on consensus on option one or the signage only of not allowing during certain times? Because the concept one has a barrier that's prohibits
no. No, it's painted.
It's just painted?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and Councilmember Cutback, one of the things that I wanted to talk with staff about is the option of paint. And what we have today right now is we have people breaking the law by going the wrong direction in the lane, right? Versus, we could certainly do paint, but we could also maybe get C-curb to go where the paint is, but still allow for the gap for the left turns. And then I also think it would be valuable for us to understand what hours they would put there. Is it just the PM peak? Is it the PM, AM? So I just want to get a little bit more detail on that. And so that's one of the things. I just want to get a little bit more information. And it would also be helpful to hear from you all on whether or not you would like more information on the north side. Some of you may not have experienced it, but I have experienced situations where people are stopping traffic to allow people to cross into Rite Aid or to cross into Denny's. And we did send a notice to them when council gave us direction back in the summer to do this. We did send notice to Denny's and also to Rite Aid, letting them know that we're actually going to put up the C-curbing on the north side. We didn't get any responses back, and you know, we're certainly willing to follow up. But we'll check to see about additional space on the north side and follow up on some of the other questions that you had. But I would like to know, is there a general feeling of consensus or wanting to get more information on the C-curve on the north side? Is that head nods? I'm seeing more info. Sounds good. Okay. And because I was talking, I wasn't paying attention to who was on first, second, third, etc. Councilmember Rasmussen, you bailed?
Yeah, it was regards to C-curbs that want more info on it.
Okay. Yeah, and that's on the north side.
On the north side, yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Councilmember Hanford?
Yes, I think we should put C-curbs up in front of the tracks on. We let them know we were going to do that. No response. So, you can always change it. Yes. Same thing with the sign option. It's an inexpensive, temporary or possibly permanent fix, depending on the outcry. We haven't heard one person come and say, I need my left turn to the right aid. So that's my thoughts.
And as far as left turn into Rite Aid, it's been pointed out to me that there's another entrance into Rite Aid from Highway 2, so it's really Denny's then that has the issue with people turning left out of Denny's or left into Denny's, and that's those are some of the comments that I have received. But again, we'll get some more info, and we may reach out one more time to those two property owners and bring back whatever response we get from them. Councilmember Camp, or did you have anything further, Councilmember Camp? Councilmember Camp?
No, I think you just answered it. Denny's is the only, they only have one entrance in that.
Yeah.
Right. So that may be problematic because I was thinking Rite Aid is a straight shot to that other entrance down by the drive-thru. And just so I'm clear, if we're putting up just signage, it's all paint, no curves, we're not going to take away left turn lanes all the time. This is where what we will be looking at further discussion. Okay, so we're not going to be, because that will be one of the things I'll talk about, is left turn lanes absolutely going away on Blueberries.
Yeah.
But as a proposed interim step to alleviate something, we're still looking at other options, including finance. Okay, that's all I need.
Yeah. And yes, perfect. Councilmember Cutback.
Did the notice to Denny's and Rite Aid go to the little store?
into both local store and corporate.
Okay, that's, I just want to make sure. Sometimes when it just goes to the local store, they don't know what to do with it.
Didn't get any response from local stores, so then we sent it to corporate.
Okay, so you did send it to corporate.
Yeah. And
I'll just try to reach out one more time to commit to understand that this is really going to impact their customers. So, thank you.
They're the ones that are here.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Yes. Just a quick question. So, going north on Kelsey and at the stoplight at Highway 2 to the left hand turn, assuming that the sea curb is there so you can't turn left into Denny's. Are U turns permitted there at the intersection so someone can U-turn back in?
I don't think there'd be enough width to do that.
Okay.
Small cars only.
Okay.
That counts for Scarborough's truck.
Scarborough's truck.
All right, anything else? Anything further, Council? So we'll go ahead and we'll put this on the extended agenda for about a couple of weeks out. We don't have a meeting next week, so we'll see what we can do about putting this on the first meeting in February or the second meeting, depending upon what it takes to get additional information from the staff. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, thank you very much. All right. The next item on the agenda this evening is new business item number one, AB 17021, consider Marbella water system petition. And
Jacob,
thank you.
Pitching for Brad. Evening, everybody. So I believe that Mr. Galloway, Mr. Demarest, and Mrs. Irving spoke pretty eloquently about the concerns that they've had with their water service provider, Marbella Water, owned by Iliad Water Company. If you've reviewed the cover sheet prepared for you, what we're looking for tonight is kind of a review of what it would take to potentially acquire or not to acquire Marbella Water and its customers and the right to serve that area. Obviously, we've heard about the customer concerns and the lack of service reliability, I suppose, and also potentially the public health concerns associated with the way the system is being run now. In conjunction with that, so that'd be the acquisition portion of kind of what's there. CIP is needed for what's there because part of the reason why the water service is not reliable is because the infrastructure is pretty aged and hasn't been well kept. So essentially what I would ask for is questions, comments, thoughts, and then also some sort of motion or I guess consensus from the council to pursue or not further pursue the acquisition of the Marbella system. So.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
It looks like a write-up that it's about $1.9 million to $2.2 million to bring it up to snuff.
Yeah, that's the capital improvements that are needed. That's not the
structure you speak of.
Yeah.
And what would we gain monetarily from taking on those customers? Would we make any money back? How long would it take to recoup $1.9 million?
Well, if you put it that way, a long time. But more than likely, I would think we'd want to pursue some sort of a local improvement district in order to facilitate those types of improvements.
Meaning?
A special assessment, basically. You
know, our money, somebody else's.
What's that?
Not city's money, but grants or funds or
actually,
something.
The customers.
Yeah.
Oh. So the customers would be assessed an annualized or something of that nature type fee that would pay them off over a period of time.
So how many houses are up there?
94, I believe it is. 98 services.
What kind of an assessment does $1.9 million generate on a monthly basis for these people? Does it supersede the increase they're looking at from Marbella?
It's about the same.
But it would have a sunset?
Yes, it would be probably, most of like these we've done have been for 20 years. So basically they take out a loan from the city for 20 years, you know, $2 million divided by 100 people.
Yeah. You know. That's a bunch. Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have any questions or Councilmember Cutaback?
Well, I mean, there wasn't a ton in the packet really to go on, but, you know, hearing from the people who came tonight, knowing what we've heard from Gene before when we've talked about water districts and him saying that if we have an opportunity, it's something we should look at seriously and consider. There's not enough information here for me to make a good judgment, but I'm sure a lot of people that live in that area consider themselves, even though you're outside the city limits, consider yourself residents and do a lot of your shopping and everything else here. I think, you know, looking at it financially, if there's a way to do it where they get assessed the infrastructure and we're able to, you know, they pay that off in the 20 years and we're able to do that, I think they would then have a little bit more faith and confidence that those funds were going to capital improvements and the customer service and all that would be better. So I think
I should hope so.
Yeah, so I think they would consider that a win and hopefully understand that it's going to cost to make the, get that infrastructure up to snuff, but knowing that the city will faithfully do that. So I'd like a little bit more information about the cost and what we would charge them and all of that.
Okay.
Discuss this a little bit further.
I think the more detailed information that would be getting at the acquisition might be better left unsaid at that point in time, because if you're going into a business year of that nature, you probably don't want
to
put that out there. So the information that we can get back to you is going to be limited in some fashion by that. So just to preface that.
Yep.
Anything further, Councilmember Cuddeback?
No.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
From the folks up there, is there any feeling from the 9,100 homes that it would be acceptable, that they would rather pay that money to the city and have the dependence that they would get from having city water as opposed to what you had in the past?
I think the vast majority of homeowners there, we would much rather deal with the city of Monroe, even if it meant paying the same amount as we'll potentially be paying Marcello water system, we'll be getting something for that. We'll be getting a brand new system, and we'll have, you know, people who can maintain that system that live minutes away versus currently the companies are based out of Seattle, but they maintain systems all the way in Arlington and down by Mount Rainier, so their maintenance people could be anywhere. So we get, you know, response takes days versus hours.
Thank you.
As I said, as an advocate for Monroe, I've worked for the city of Bothell since 93. When I lost Mark, I stepped away. I'm now with Alderwood Utility District. It's frustrating to no end to watch what they do and to know your staff and what they can do and the proper things that can be done. And that's what I've shared with all our neighbors. And I think, yes, it'd be, you know, we've got a considerable number of signatures already. We are still learning all of our neighbors. But yeah, I hope you allow staff to at least review it and give some more information.
Thank you. Anything further, Councilmember Scarborough?
No.
Thank you. Thank you. Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. I'm just curious, so the assessment, would it include the purchase price, whatever that would be?
It theoretically would, yeah.
Okay.
So the assessment you see there in front of you is not likely to be the total cost of acquisition.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
Yeah, so what you see in front of you there, the $2.2 million, is not likely to be the total cost of acquiring this certain customer.
Right, so my understanding then, any purchase updates, everything would be, you're here, would be paid for by the potential customers.
As it stands now, however,
as it stands now,
the council could pursue other options.
Okay. Is that group area, is that part of the urban growth area?
I don't plan that. That's outside of urban growth area.
Is it?
Yes.
So there's really no potential for annexation, right?
Not soon.
And let me, if I may, ask one point of clarification. On the map, the red line on the south, that would be the city limits. Is that correct, Brad?
Yes, city limits and urban growth area. Is that?
So it adjoins the urban growth area today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Councilmember Camp, you still have the floor.
Right. Thank you. And you just answered, this was the cost of purchase. We don't have any ideas at this point.
Right.
We're just dealing with that.
That would be something if the council wishes to go forward, we will start investigating those sort of things.
Okay. you know, from what I've understood, listening to the comments, the answers to the questions, really, there's no negative impact to the city. I mean, we're not going to expect the city of Monroe, Rick Pierce, to cut any significant costs or issues that we're aware of. And I know part of this is, I think in the other acquisition we had, it was a question of what was underneath the,
well,
the utility access
yes,
point.
Yes, so, and. So the yes and part is that the acquisition of customers would increase the time requirements of staffing,
right.
Especially so when you take on a system that's subpar.
Right.
So there is some give through the city in order to facilitate that. That might mean additional staff, that might mean something else. But
yeah, yeah. Look at that as normal.
Absolutely. Right.
That's fine, I understand that part. Yeah. I just want to make sure there's no extraordinary expectation from the city or from
right.
the citizens that they're going to have to pay something in order to grant you guys a benefit, no offense, but just
no, actions. Not the way it's
okay. Okay, and that pretty much answers.
Thank you. Mr. Proudberg got an add-on.
And just, oh, it's not necessary to do that, but you can do it that way if you want. So it's up to the council how they want to structure the deal. You know, we could just say, we'll go buy the water system from Iliad and just make it part of our water system and just treat it like any other customer, and as things break, we go fix them. Or we can do the, you know, you guys sit from up an LID, bring your system, you know, up to standard, and then you're kind of our customer, and, you know, we'll take you over as a new water system, not as an old water system.
Right, and this is basically what we're doing with the other...
The other one we did, we took over the old water system.
Right.
Yeah.
So it'll all depend on what kind of things we find and moving forward with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. As was stated earlier, there's no like motion prepared or anything like that.
No.
Just discussion direction. So I would be in agreement with number one. I mean, everything's lined up. They've spoken, they have the petitions, so.
And I'm understanding that is consensus, is to bring back additional information and to discuss this matter further. Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, I agree. I continue the conversation.
So what we'll do is we'll work internally with staff and bring forward additional information in an appropriate setting to have additional conversation about the subject.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, next item that we have on the agenda is council member reports. We'll start off with what's listed on the agenda, Queen Transit Board of Directors. Councilmember Cutterback.
Sorry, council, I was unable to attend that. It was a mid-month meeting. It was my first week back at work after being gone a month. So normally it's the beginning of the month. So I'm not sure. I was in the middle of the month. Yeah.
Things get shifted, not a problem.
February 3rd, I know, is the next one.
Thank you, council member.
No report.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and we'll go down the line. Council member Campbell.
Yeah, just doing you get the standard commercial every Tuesday until March 17th. Yes. The school foundation, March 17th. We have another planning session tomorrow, so be it. Administration's office tomorrow. All things basketball right now. Kids have their total up at the high school, which is always good to see. But that's about it. Just spending a lot of time in the gym right now.
Working out.
Oh, actually, no. It's all things between my daughter and my son. I don't think I get to see the light of day.
Thank you. Councilmember Campbell.
Thank you. A couple points. Attended the DMA last night. I'm sure the mayor will speak most of that. Heard a presentation from Candy Yamaguchi. I'm sorry, what was your title?
She's an executive director, one of three executive directors to the county executive.
Good presentation. I'll just let you discuss it later. That we did that. As promised, I met with Mr. Ike Meyer regarding marijuana retail sales. It's very enlightening. He's promised me more information. I'm trying to collect as much as I can before I disseminate it, but one point that he made, which caused me a little bit of concern, is that we are one of 80 moratorium cities regarding marijuana retail sales, and there's a possibility of state action to force the cities to do the rezone, the appropriate rezone for marijuana retail sales, either by direct legislative action or through an initiative. The only concern it gives me is that we don't want to be behind the curve on this. We may need to look at this a little bit earlier, say next year, maybe later this year. Again, I'm getting more information from him, and thank you, Councilmember Rasmussen, for sending that additional, some more information to that as well. I just want to bring it to everybody's attention. Again, it's nothing concrete at this point. It just, it's been mentioned. We're looking at that. Other than that, it's been a good week. Having a good one. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Campbell, go ahead and staff will advise our lobbyists just of what you heard about that. I've heard that sort of thing before where the state legislature might want to take action.
Right. But what caught my attention was the discussion of an initiative action to force that, because I guess there are 80, I hope I'll get it right, 80 moratorium cities, which seems to be a significant number. Who are just sitting back and waiting. I don't think any of us want to be the test case going up to the Supreme Court, either state or federal, determining the validity of forcing us to do a rezone for something like this. And I sure as heck don't want Monroe to be that.
I'm sorry, so is he talking about an initiative of the people?
An initiative of the people to force us to do a rezone. Again, it's not a promise, but a potentiality. I think we could be able to.
Thank you, Councilmember.
So hopefully I'll get more information.
Councilmember Davis.
That's at the end.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Yeah, just to tail off of Councilmember Camp, the report that was mentioned, the Health District put out a marijuana report last year, I believe was the date on it. It's a great report. So, I mean, if you guys are interested in seeing it now or as this does come up, let me know. I'm happy to get you a copy of that. I kind of had that gut feeling coming into middle of last year that this is going to be a topic that's going to come back that we're going to be forced to talk about. So, just kind of learning up on it and asking the questions. So, put that offer out to you guys. Switching gears. Jacob mentioned the Chili Bowl. We're not going to have a chance to meet before it. And so I'm going to invite you guys all out to Chili Bowl. It's next Tuesday. We don't have a council meeting. Senior Center, 5th Tuesday. It's at the Senior Center at 5 o'clock. And can I tell you how it goes? So local organizations and businesses paid a small nominal entry fee to have table space and bring a crock pot of chili. It could be a family secret recipe. It could be straight out of a can to the crock pot. It doesn't matter. No one really cares. All that matters is people get to come and taste as much chili as they want. So you can come, taste chili. Now the idea is that these chefs are campaigning for your votes. And they want to have the most votes for their chili. And so that it might get a little dirty. There might be some accusations of hacking or tampering or something. But, that's part of the fun. Now, if you come and you want to vote, you vote in two ways. You either pay $1 per vote or one can of food per vote. And obviously, the more votes you buy, the better it, the more it serves. So,
vote early, vote often.
Yes, before you fill up on taste. So there's three. There's trophies for the top three goat vote getters. There's also trophies for three judge categories: most original, hottest, and best meatless. And our mayor is one of our celebrity judges, so he'll be there. any chefs out there that might just happen to be listening to this, right? You now you know how to who to bribe on those. So 5 o'clock next Tuesday, Senior Center. Come out, join us, have some fun. Senior Center is actually hosting a beer and wine garden, so if nothing else, if you're not a chili fan, well, there you go. There's your excuse.
Great mentioning bribes at the city council meeting.
It's all for a good cause.
I completely yield for a question. Yes, is there an antacid?
Actually, yes. The chamber, So this is how much fun we're having. The chamber's actually putting together a first aid kit that's going to have antacid, and for those in your household, it's going to probably even have some Beano in there. So.
This conversation is just going bad.
No wonder why no one respects us.
Good luck following that one, guys. I got a joke.
Anything further, Councilmember Rasmussen?
Not unless you want to hear a joke.
Councilmember Hanford?
No joke. The cost entrance
for
the dinner?
No.
So you're paying for the votes.
Paying for the votes.
It's advisory vote.
Yeah, paying for the
votes. It's advisory vote.
It's an advisory vote.
That's a good term.
And you can't abstain.
You're still there.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Let's see, I attended the State of Everett breakfast on Friday, and it was Thursday, one of those. It was interesting. And that's pretty much it for the week.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Nothing for this week. This Sunday is the Jamie Bindle run, so I've done it the last few years. It's a great cause, so if you have an opportunity to go out, walk it, run it. It's great to see the community come out for that and to not forget, you know, what happened up there. So I will be there. Chief, can I bring a dog? Can I bring my dog?
People love you, dog.
What?
I have a dog. Can the dog be in it? Oh,
okay.
Anything further, Councilor? No. Councilor
Scarborough. Nothing. I can't beat any of that. I'm at the end of this tail here.
So, I heard that. we'll go on out to Mr. Worthen.
The only thing I have to tell you is we do have your first round of interviews for the Community Development Director this Thursday. So we have four scheduled. We have one in one scheduled for next week as well. So getting traction on that, and the process is ongoing. So I'm looking forward to meeting the individuals there.
And park supervisor process?
Oh, and the park supervisor process. We have one more interview tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. and then we'll go from there. So thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Nelson.
Nothing to report.
Okay. Mr. Fowler.
Two things. One is, you may recall we had a break in our wastewater treatment plant effluent out of the fall in the river. The ice broke off, and one broke off in September. The water went up. The water came back down at the beginning of this month. Another one is missing. So we've been working with our consultant on that, and we have some game plan, talked to their regulatory agencies, and basically what we're probably going to look at is doing a temporary fix in the spring, summer, when the water went down far enough, and then start the process for applying for the Army Corps permits, which take about a year to get, and then rebuild the outfall. That's that one, and then we're also working on the public workshop. As you may recall, you issued bonds to get money for the public workshop, and we've been working with the consultant on the preliminary designs for that, and so that's going along well. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Chief Munzer.
Yes, I have one thing. Several weeks ago, we had a parks employee that was being stopped by an individual from their former work or area they formerly lived in, and there was a no contact order, etc., put on this individual, and we worked diligently on this, and we arrested him in I believe it was in South King County this last week. after we arrested him, he had informed us he was coming up to the Monroe area, and also when we arrested him, he had an AR-15 in his vehicle at that time, so he's been booked and is currently in the Snohomish County Jail, and that is all I have.
Thank you very much, Chief. Mr. Mosley.
Just to point out that the votes cost $1, but the antacid costs $100. met yesterday with representatives from Fire District 7, just as a continuing effort to get around and introduce people, and was frankly impressed that these two fire districts kind of saw the value in joining and being one, and kind of got rid of the turf pretty early on, from what I can tell, and that from their reports and from all I've heard seems to be working well, and appreciated getting to know them. Along with the mayor and Councilmember Kemp, I attended the DMA meeting last night, very impressed with the volunteer work of people in the DMA and what they're trying to do. Brad and I met with a firm that is going to be assisting us in building inspections. As you probably know, Rick Carnes is leaving us to go to be the building official in the city of Arlington, which is where he lives. So we're going to need some assistance in the next month or so while we fill that position, and we've contacted a firm that we've worked with in the past that will be filling in a couple of days a week while we're here. So, am I supposed to do forward-looking now, or is that later?
Not yet. I'll talk, and then we'll do an agenda. Thank you. So just a couple things from me. On Saturday last week, I did Coffee with Mayor at the original Pilot House Coffee. I had somebody, Rick Hart, I believe, come, and he came to meet with me because he was concerned about bicycle safety. So I am working with staff to see what the cost would be to put up some signs, kind of like we have right now for pedestrian safety, just reminding people to share the road, particularly on Lewis Street and on Main Street, and also getting some information out in one of our Monroe This Weeks, and also on Facebook, just reminding people to watch out for cyclists and whatnot. He also then, after talking to me for some time about that, went ahead and spoke with me about a number of other things, including the 191st connection, about Blueberry, about the issues about homelessness that he had been hearing about, you know, people living in rights of way and neighboring properties and whatnot. And I had one inquiry from somebody that was there about the wakeboard at Lake Tai, and went ahead and updated her on that. And then there was some conversation also about the Downtown Monroe Association. In addition to Mr. Hart, I had somebody from the YMCA stop by and talk with me a little bit about me volunteering to sing karaoke. I don't sing, so I'm going out there on a limb to try to pretend to sing. It would be at
Pretty Thin Limb.
What's that?
Pretty Thin Limb.
Yeah. Try being Lutheran and not be able to sing. That don't work so well. When is it?
Bells of Gucci.
Yeah.
Thursday, February 7th.
Sounds good. Okay. So I will go.
7 p.m.
Thursday, February
9th. Yeah.
So I will do my best to sing. I'm looking for recommendations. I will probably hand out earplugs to people that will be there. So she came out to talk to me about that. County Councilmember Lowe also showed up with his son, and was able to talk to Rick Hart a little bit about bicycle safety and everything. Councilmember Lowe showed up just as Mr. Hart was standing up to leave after talking with me for about 45 minutes, and so I was able to point him to Councilmember Lowe, who had had he was able to talk with him a little bit about safety on the Monroe Road. Because Mr. Hart also cycles over there. I also went to the city of Duval. I was invited there to go and speak on, among other topics, term limits. That was a fun conversation. It was nice talking with them and learning a little bit about the city of Duval and their council. It was a retreat that they had on that Saturday. And then last night, I attended the Downtown Monroe Association, and Kendi Yamaguchi, who is an executive director for County Executive Summers, was there to talk about economic development. She gave a presentation for part of it, talked about how the county is working on not having silos for economic development anymore, and then named 9 different areas. Of economic development, 9 different separate areas of economic development, and then asked us a couple of questions, and then everybody that was there in the room, their business owners and residents, of course, Councilmember Camp also, and one of the things that I pointed out is that key to our economic development here was improving 522, and so I used it as an opportunity to reinforce that we want the state to finish what they started, and the importance of the county being part of that solution. So that was one of the things that we really emphasized. The people in the room, business owners, were able to explain how 522 adversely affects their businesses. There's somebody in the room there that owns Wellbeing Center and talked about patients being late, and then there's also somebody there from a landscape business on 203 about how he has to juggle his calendar around the traffic on 522, and it just, you know, just makes things more complicated and costly. There was also discussion from Aaron Angus Snapka brought up the whole point about students being late to school in Maltby over 20% of the time last year, and Kendi really took heart to that statement, and in fact, when we were walking out into the parking lot, it was that comment that really resonated with her, that the schools are late so often and dropping kids off. So anyway, that was a good part of the conversation we had. There was a lot of educating about how the condition of 522 leads to impacts on other communities, including Duval and Maltby, you know, with the bypass called U Road. And those are things that we took the opportunity to educate her on. I am going to be inviting her back, like I do with a lot of other people that are interested in economic development here in town and developers, and take them on a tour of the town. I'm going to take them out for about an hour to an hour and a half and just show them different areas of town and talk about the development in the industrial area and show them the homes that are being built right now and everything, so they get a feel for things outside of Highway 2. And my goal is to get people off of Highway 2 and see our community. Just a reminder that tomorrow night, is it tomorrow night? 191st?
Thursday
night. Thank you. So Thursday night, 191st. Please encourage your friends and neighbors to come out and see the, I think it's four alternatives or so that are going to be presented, very much like we did with the Blueberry and Kelsey. And of course, people, if they want to, they can comment on Facebook, and we'll go ahead and we'll consolidate that just like we did with Blueberry, so that you can see what all those comments are. So the open house will be 5 to 7 on Thursday.
At the library?
No. This time it'll be at the Christ Church Monroe at 14118 Chain Lake Road. Is that the Seventh Day Adventist Church? Yeah, right there on the corner. Okay, cool. Lastly, I am very happy to report that the chief and deputy chief were able to make good progress with the county on doing a contract for, you know, the embedded social worker concept.
I thanked him publicly on Facebook for the work that he had done to help continue to move that along. That generated a number of people that really liked that on Facebook, and then a number of people that had really significant concerns about people leaving material, not just in our parks, but also in properties just outside the city limits. And so just letting all of you know that if you're hearing concerns about that, the staff is very actively working the issue, and as you're aware, going back to the summertime, we've been actively working and bringing forward both changing things administratively and also bringing forward policies and proposals to this body, as you know, as is appropriate, to do things to help take care of the issue of homelessness here. As I've stated before, we want to help those people that want help, and you know, for people that are not willing to accept help, we can't have people living in our parks. It can't be acceptable for us just to allow people to live out in the open. We want to get people help that want help, and then we need to be following up with enforcement and everything. When I was growing up, there's, you know, yes, there's love. There's also the thing about tough love, and so we're working through a number of issues there. And as you all are aware, it's a very complicated, very complex issue. And as all of you are aware, this is a regional, perhaps statewide issue. Just drive down to Seattle, you'll see people living, you know, on I-5 and everything. And we're working the issue with our nonprofit partners, in addition to the county, other property owners, and just rest assured that we're working the issue very much at the staff level. And I think that's all that I have to go over for now. Councilor Pettiback.
You mentioned people were upset about materials being left. You mean garbage? And so.
Well, you're talking garbage, yes. You're talking drug paraphernalia, yes. And as I've stated before, not everybody that's homeless has chemical dependency issues. Some people, it's economic issues and whatnot. So I don't want to connect the two solely. There are also tents, you know, just camping equipment in addition to garbage and whatnot. So when I use the term material, I'm trying to be inclusive. Yeah.
Well, what I noticed, because I walk a lot now and I've been walking over an hour a day for the last like 6 weeks, and I go behind the movie theater and behind Walmart, and I'm always walking up there. A lot of litter, a lot of garbage, a lot of people who seem transient coming in and out of those woods at all times of the day. So I've noticed an uptick. I mean, and I've been doing it now for six weeks straight every day. I haven't missed a day. And so, you know, I don't know what the solution is, but I know that it is having an impact on our environment up there. I'm concerned as I walk through and I thought, okay, well, how can I help? Can we organize at least, you know, cleaning parties just to pick up the garbage? It's pretty substantial back there. And in my mind, it's unacceptable that we have garbage littering all through that walkway and up 191st. And so I know science won't help, but, you know, it would seem like we would come up with some solution to clean that up. And I know people would probably rally around that. So maybe if we can give some thought to that, and I'd be willing to help. You know, it doesn't solve the underlying issue, but it might help the environment a little in the meantime to get that garbage up. So I thought, oh, I keep forgetting to take a bag on my walk, because I'm at that point now. I'm going to take a garbage bag and pick up garbage when I'm walking every day, because it's not acceptable. I mean, it disturbs my walk. So I'm sure a lot of other people have noticed too, because I've noticed. So.
Right. And just a little bit on that. Last year, probably about 6 months ago or so, as we all know, that's DOT right of way right there. The Department of Transportation, working with the Sheriff's Office, trespass people that were residing there. And so what we'll be doing over the next couple of weeks is we'll be following up not just on city-owned property, but we'll also be following up with the DOT about those issues to move things along. And one of the benefits to the embedded social worker is that, you know, nonprofits are going to take one tack to resolving the issue. The city can take another tack to resolving the issue. One of enforcement, also cleanup, but one of these social workers that's trained on getting resources and everything will take another tack. And it'll. You're right. It takes the community. It takes all sorts of things. It takes us picking up garbage in addition to. In our own Parks Department and PD and Public Works. And I agree, it's not acceptable. And I lost track of who's on first. Councilmember Davis.
Sure, I'm sorry. I should have said this first time around. I promised myself I would say something about this. I'm aware of some an incident last week where some suspicious activity was observed and was reported, and I'm told that it couldn't have been more than 2 minutes before a couple of patrol cars responded, and couldn't have been two more minutes before two more patrol cars responded. I'm quite impressed. It did result in an arrest, and I read about it the next day in the police blotter. So kudos to the officers involved, to the department once again. And time I've been involved or heard of something like this, they've been more than timely and right on the spot and heroes of the day. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Yeah, Councilmember Kutovac's comments in regards to the litter, I think it's appropriate just to remind council that the our Parks Department does have an Adopt a Park program. Actually, the Boys and Girls Club is piloting it, and so, you know, if it's trails, parks, areas for cleanup groups to organize, you know, certainly encourage you to reach out to Mike Farrell and see if that's something that can be set up. So I know that the club, one of the clubs, the team program is actually going to be down at Sky River Park in the trails along the river and Wiggly Field to clean it. I think Friday is when they're scheduled to be down there. So that'd be something to keep in the back of your mind too.
Thank you. Customer Scarborough.
To piggyback on what Councilman Kutovac was talking about in that area, I wrote with the policeman who's kind of up on that stuff, the homeless. And we walked back in those woods between the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the 191st, basically. It's a mess. Mm-hmm. And I talked to the gal that runs our garbage pickup, and she encouraged me to at least call her and talk to her about like a city pickup day where they would provide a dipsy dumpster. And I told her I wanted to talk to the church and see if what it would cost to put a dipsy dumpster up at the church, if they would allow it to be put up at the church. Would the people pick up their garbage and put it in a dipsy dumpster? And that may be the bigger question. Otherwise, Councilman Camp and I talked about just taking my little trailer and viewing garbage cans and going back there and picking up garbage. And if you went on a walk and took your garbage bag, you either wouldn't get very far because it would be full 100 yards. And it's really bad in there. And then my son's a fireman here, and they did a call on the other side of the river and under the bridge. And the first thing he did when he got off was call me and said, "Have you seen that mess under there?" I said, "No, but I know of it, and I know that they know that it's the county, and that's why they're there, because it takes longer for the sheriff to get there and whatever." But it kind of went along with an email I got about what happens when the river rises and all our drug paraphernalia goes in the river and on down to your house 2 miles down the river. I know it's hard, and I'm with you. There's people that want help. For the council person to help. There's people that don't want help. I don't know what to do about those people.
Understood. Councilmember Rasmussen. I just forgot to join. Okay, one other thing that kind of rose, and I forgot to mention this, is we had a
we had a railroad crossing go out on Kelsey last week, and you may have received or even experienced traffic on Highway 2 at Kelsey. One of the things that we have is that, as you're aware, the railroad crossings are timed with the lights. I'm understanding that this happens about once every 2 to 4 years, Brad. And the railroad crossing stopped working. The lights then freaked out. It's an engineering term, right?
It's a technical term.
Thank you, sir. And so the lights then went out, and unfortunately, it took the Department of Transportation 4 to 6 hours to show up to fix, to resynchronize the lights. When I became aware of it still being a problem, I contacted the chief. The chief was kind enough to get back to me like 8 o'clock at night. As you're aware, you've got multiple lanes right there. It's hard to put an officer out there in the dark in damp weather. And so I know that there was an officer that was out there at the corner for a period of time observing. We also had an issue that night where we had patrol out chasing somebody who had stolen a car, and I believe K-9 was on that was out in Sultan. We did catch the person, but the point being is that Friday night was a very busy night, and what happened with the traffic back there was what I explained. I'll be working with staff to send a letter to the Department of Transportation, just ask them to be more prompt when this happens, even though it's once every couple to 4 years. That's something that impacts east-west travel for our state. Those are people going to eastern Washington and coming back, not just local traffic on a Friday night. That's fully unacceptable, and I'll be following up with the state on that. Great. I think that's all I have for right now, and I'm going to go ahead and kick things over to Mr. Mosley. Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of the Council, we do have several items for consent agenda at our meeting on February the 7th. Of course, we will not have a meeting next Tuesday night on the 31st. And then we have a couple of business items related to the Snohomish Health District, one related to the Rucker Building and financial interest thereof. And just to remind the Council, there's a meeting here at City Hall on 30th at 2 o'clock with the Snohomish County Health District, and I think other jurisdictions have been invited too, but that's an opportunity for us to learn more and become more clear about this issue. And then we'll also be considering a proposed 2017 ILA with the Snohomish Health District. And then there's also a petition for waiver of sidewalk requirements on the council agenda for the 7th. That's it, Mayor.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't think that we have any other business this evening. There being no other business, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Councilman Rasmussen. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. First from Councilman Rasmussen, a second from Councilman Williams to adjourn. Any discussion on motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. See you in February. We're adjourned.